The Bible tells us that Jesus had 12 disciples, these 12 men that he trained and equipped for the ministry. They were the pillars of the early church. The book of Acts even gives us more details about how God used these special men to take the gospel to the known world at that time. And one of the 12 was a man by the name of Andrew. And Andrew was originally a follower, a disciple of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. But then later, as Jesus came on the scene, Andrew left being a disciple of John the Baptist to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, he met the Savior. And he's not really mentioned much in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Almost everything we know about the Apostle Andrew is from the Gospel of John. In fact, in the first three Gospels, he's just Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, in a list. But in the Gospel of John, he is listed with a little more detail. We know a little bit more about him. He shows up in three specific stories that we're going to see this morning. And Andrew was a normal guy, an ordinary fella that God used in extraordinary ways. And let's see how that began to happen. Now, when we think about the apostles, we think about the 12. We think about Simon Peter. We think about James and John and Andrew and all these men of God. I mean, it's a little bit intimidating, isn't it? We think about cathedrals named after these fellows. We think about colleges and universities that have the name St. Peter or St. Andrew or some of these other guys. We think about cities that are named after these men, like St. Petersburg, Russia, or St. Andrews in Scotland. Or we think about the names of people. In fact, how many people do we know that are even here this morning that have a name that comes from one of the 12? Peter, Andrew, James, John, and so forth. So it is a little intimidating to be talking about the walking and acting like one of the 12 apostles, Andrew. But I think as we unpack his life in just a few moments, that we're going to see that Andrew was an ordinary guy that God used in extraordinary ways. And God can use us in a similar way. In fact, he can use us to change the world if we'll allow him. The first time that Andrew comes on the scene is in the Gospel of John chapter 1. And if you want to take out a Bible or an outline there in your worship folder, you can follow along with the scripture this morning. But the Bible says, beginning in John 1:36, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and he followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And John the Baptist told Andrew about Jesus, and they left John and followed Jesus. And he immediately went and told someone else about Jesus, and it was his brother, Peter. So the first instance in which Andrew appears on the scene is here in John chapter 1. He's been following John the Baptist. Jesus comes on the scene. John the Baptist says, "Hey, look, don't follow me. You need to follow him. Behold the Lamb of God." And Andrew becomes a follower of Jesus. He spends a day with Jesus. And interestingly enough, after one day with Jesus, Andrew is already bringing others to come and know the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And who does he go to first? He goes first to his brother, Peter. Now, the scripture calls him Simon in John chapter 1, but later Jesus would change his name to Peter, and he would oftentimes be called Simon Peter, but same fella. And the very first thing Andrew did was he went and he told someone about his experience with Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that Andrew hadn't read the whole Bible. He had not been to church. He did not have a long list of religious accolades. He had just been with Jesus just a little bit, only one day. But yet that was enough for him to go and to begin to communicate the message of the Messiah. to all those around him. And interestingly enough, he went and brought his closest associate, his brother, Simon Peter, to come and know the Lord as well. Now, Peter was the front man of the 12. He was the face of the franchise, if you will. He was the personality of the 12. I mean, could you imagine the Christian faith without Simon Peter? First of all, we wouldn't have several of the books of the New Testament that were written. We wouldn't have Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost. And we wouldn't have a lot of the great stories of the Gospels without Simon Peter. I mean, Simon Peter was the personality. He was the face of the 12. And oftentimes he would speak before he would think, and he would act before it made any sense. But Simon Peter had energy. He was exciting. It was Simon Peter who saw Jesus walking on the water that immediately jumped out of the boat and said, "Man, if Jesus is walking on water, why can't I?" And then when he started to think about it, then he started to sink. It was Simon Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane that drew his sword and took off the soldier's ear while Jesus was being arrested. Peter was a man of passion. He was dynamic. He was a force to be reckoned with when God got a hold of his life. But we wouldn't have a Peter if we wouldn't have had an Andrew. See, Andrew was more of a background guy. Andrew was more of a guy that was kind of reserved. We don't know as much about him, but we do know one thing. Andrew was always bringing people to the Savior. And that's how his life is characterized in the Gospels. We really see his humility in that and his focus on the mission. He's always called Simon Peter's brother throughout the Scripture. He's not just Andrew, he's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And maybe you have an older brother or sister, or maybe you've been called that before. You're so-and-so, oh, the brother of him, or the sister of her. And if you're the little brother or the little sister, you can kind of tend to walk in the shadow of the older brother and sister. It's just kind of like several years ago, if you're an NFL football player, a football fan, we have Peyton Manning, and then there was Eli Manning, who was Peyton Manning's brother. And everybody knew Eli Manning as Peyton Manning's brother, even though Eli Manning was the starting quarterback of an NFL football team. Now, once Eli got his Super Bowl ring, then he began to kind of come into his own. He began to be known as Eli Manning. But before that, he was just Eli Manning, Peyton Manning's brother. You know, well, it's kind of the same thing that we see here with Andrew. But Andrew was okay with that. Our other disciples were not. We know that James and John were called the sons of thunder. That's what Jesus called them. And they had kind of a Peter-type mentality. And they were fighting over who would sit at the right and left hand of the Father in eternity. And they thought, man, if I'm out doing all this disciple stuff, following the Lord and doing all this ministry, I better have some rewards in eternity. I better sit at the right hand of the Father. And they were arguing and fighting about it. They were the sons of thunder. Andrew was really different. He was really okay with being the guy kind of in the background. The guy that was least noticed. Andrews are the people that are the backbone of every ministry. They're the people that do the things behind the scenes that really nobody else sees, because they're focused on the mission, and the mission is bringing people to Jesus. So that's all Andrew cared about. Now, he knew Peter was going to take over. He knew his older brother was going to be the one that Jesus would spend the most time with. In fact, we know that Jesus had an inner circle. He had Peter, James, and John that he spent the most time with. And then Andrew was really in the next group. So Jesus had 12, but out of the 12, he really spent the most time with three. And Andrew wasn't even in the inner three. But he was okay with that because he was focused on what God was going to do in and through his life. We see the same thing in chapter 6. The same mentality that says, you're invited. You're invited. Notice verses 1 through 9 of John 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. And then Jesus went up on a mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. And the Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming towards him. And he said, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now he asked this only to test him, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one of them to have a bite. You know, Philip's getting his abacus out. You know, he's trying to do the math here. And then in verse 8, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? So there's kind of this crisis. All these people got to eat. The Bible tells us in another gospel that there were 5,000 men. That means there were even more women and children there. Thousands and thousands of people have come to follow Jesus. The people need to eat. Philip is trying to figure out how they can take out a loan. He's trying to do the math. And Andrew says, you know what? I saw Jesus Christ turn water to wine in John chapter 2. And just maybe, Jesus Christ could do the same thing. And he brings this little boy who has this little lunch, and he's got some little sardines and some bread, and Jesus takes that and he multiplies it and feeds thousands and thousands of people. There's even food left over. But it all began when Andrew brought the little boy to Jesus. You see, Andrew was always introducing people to the Messiah. It began with Simon Peter, his brother. It continued with this little boy that only had a small lunch, and yet when he met the Savior, God did miraculous things in and through him. Andrew was always inviting others to come and meet the Savior, and he just had a simple faith that's so refreshing. We need to acknowledge that and look at that. He had seen Jesus turn water into wine, so why not food? And then, you know, Andrew, interestingly enough, he's saying you're invited in chapter 12. In fact, if you want to look at this in the scripture, verses 20 to 22, guess what Andrew is doing again? He's introducing people to Jesus. It's the same thing. In chapter 12, verse 20 to 22, now there were some Greeks among them who went to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. We would like to see Jesus. In verse 22, Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. See, when people wanted to meet Jesus, who did they come to? They came to Andrew, because he was the man that was always introducing people to the Savior. And the same thing that he did in chapter 1 was the same thing he did in chapter 6, was the same thing he did in chapter 12. The heartbeat of Andrew was to introduce as many people to Jesus Christ as he possibly could. Now, the Greeks wanted to see Jesus, and oftentimes there were racial tensions between the Jews and the Gentiles. In fact, in the book of Acts, we even see more detail about this controversy, but many of the Jews didn't want Gentiles to be Christians. They thought Jesus was just for them. And yet, Andrew was open-minded. He was open to the ministry that Jesus Christ had to the Gentiles. He saw Jesus minister to the Gentiles, and he had seen it in John chapter 4 when he ministered to the woman who was at the well. And he saw that. And he said, man, Jesus Christ can minister to these Greeks just like he can to the Jews. He was open-minded, man. He wanted to reach as many people as he could. He was open to different kinds of people. And he celebrated that. And he took those folks and he introduced them to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You know, interestingly enough, Andrew is also the patron saint of Greece, Scotland, and Russia. I don't know about you, that sounded kind of weird to me when I was reading that this week. I was like, Greece, Scotland, and Russia, those are not exactly areas that are right next to each other, right? They're kind of all spread out. Why in the world would he be considered the patron saint of Greece, Scotland, and Russia? It was because he was constantly introducing people to the Messiah all over the world. He was a missionary. And the book of Acts tells us that Andrew and the other 12 went to the different regions of the known world at that time to introduce people to Jesus. And that was what he was doing. In fact, he even died for it. He led Maximilla, the wife of the Roman proconsul, to Christ. And this so angered the pagan leader that he ordered Andrew to offer sacrifices to heathen gods. And when Andrew refused to do that, guess what happened? He was crucified. He was crucified for his faith. And that's how Andrew's life ended. It ended because he was constantly bringing people to Jesus Christ. That was the central focus of his life. Now here's what God wants to do in our lives today. God wants to use me to bring people to Jesus. God wants to use me. And that sounds kind of scary and intimidating. And a lot of times we think, man, Ryan, that's cool. I mean, I understand that's in the Bible, and I would want people to know Jesus and all that, but I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know what to say to people. Let me set your mind at ease. Our church is constantly sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may not be able to explain all of the specifics of the Bible, but you know what you can do? You can invite a friend to come to church. You can bring a friend here to the edge to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you may not know what to say to them, but you could invite them here, and we could share the gospel with them in this service, and in doing so, God could use your life in a powerful way. All you have to do is say, you're invited. You're invited. And extend that invitation, and next weekend is the greatest Sunday to do that. Did you know somewhere between 75 and 90% of all believers accept Christ through a relationship with a family member or a friend? So, man, I think it's great that we do stuff on the internet and we do TV and that Christians have radio stations and programs and print media and all that's awesome. I mean, let's do all that. But at the same time, we have to understand that the number one method, the number one way that people come to know Christ is because we invite them, because we reach out to them, just like Andrew went to his brother Simon Peter. And that's the deal. And unfortunately, the longer that we're followers of Christ, the more our schedule revolves around Christian activities and Christian people. And like, if you've been a Christian for a while, this can be a challenge. Because sometimes we find ourselves in so many Bible studies and so many Christian activities. It's all good stuff, but it can almost isolate us from the rest of the world. And yet what we see here laid out for us in the Scripture is that the apostles, and that primarily Andrew, were constantly going out and meeting people and then bringing them to Jesus Christ. It's powerful, isn't it? Now, when you meet Jesus Christ, the most natural thing to do is to tell others. Not too long ago, Gina had a friend call and say, I got engaged, but it's a secret. I don't want you to tell anybody. And I thought, wow, how can you get engaged and not tell anybody, right? I mean, what do? Wear your ring, like, at home? And then, like, you take it off and put it in the closet, you know, hope nobody's looking, and then you go to work, and then you come home and you, like, put it back. I mean, how does that work? How can you be engaged and people not know about that? You know, it's interesting that several months later that engagement, you know, was ended. When we have a life-changing experience, we want to tell people. When we fall in love, we want to tell people. I mean, could you imagine being 6 months pregnant and not telling anybody? I mean, when people get pregnant, they go crazy. They do. They start hanging out at Babies R Us. They start picking out names. They start doing Twitter messages to all their friends. They do Facebook pictures, showers, nursery. I mean, people go crazy on that stuff. Could you imagine being 6 months pregnant, you're going to have a baby, and you don't want anybody to know? I mean, that would be nuts. How much more important is it for us to share the greatest news of all, that God has saved us, God has redeemed us, God has transformed us with the others around us? It is good news. That's why it's called the gospel. And it's our job to tell others. Now, it's good news because we've moved from darkness to light, from guilt to grace, from heaven to hell, from fear to power, from bondage to freedom. And that's something to be excited about, isn't it? I mean, that's something to be fired up about. That gets me fired up a little bit this morning, doesn't it? In fact, last week, my wife had a chance to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a friend of ours who's Jewish. And guess what? She committed her life to Jesus Christ. Powerful. She's coming to church next Sunday. Pretty nervous, but she's coming. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. The Lord's doing great things there. And that's what it's all about. And only God can calculate the value of an Andrew because it took an Andrew to reach a Peter. So you may look at yourself and go, man, I don't have all the glamour and the personality and whatever. That's okay. God can use you. God can use people in the background. God uses normal people. God uses average people. But average people that have a yielded heart and want to see God do something in their lives in a specific way that yields great fruit and great results. And that's what the life of Andrew was really all about. Hey, I want to introduce a friend of mine to you guys. A lot of you guys have met him before, but I want to invite Fred to come on up on our stage. Fred, come on up here, brother. Let's give him a round of applause. Welcome, Fred. Tell us a little bit about, like, when the first time you came, you brought the kids. Tell us about your experience the very first visit that you came.
Well, it's pretty interesting. I mentioned to Pastor Ryan that I'll go ahead and show up this Sunday. Of course, I had a lot of things on my mind, a lot of things I want to do, and I'm like, man, I can't lie to this guy and not show up. So I brought the kids. At the time, my wife was working, and I said, I'm going to go to this church. And she said, good luck. And I came out here to meet Pastor Ryan, and a member of the congregation, had my kids here. I enjoyed it. I was born and raised Catholic. We've kind of been out of the church system probably for years since my son was born. And, you know, I was looking for something, and I felt that a smaller church community would have been probably a good fit for us. And we've enjoyed it since, and the kids have, and slowly I've brought Betsy in. And so it's a challenge for me to get her to come in and be more open about it, but she's slowly moving along. So
that's awesome. Yeah. That's great. And Fred, talk about the spiritual commitment that you made when we had a chance to visit after you had come to the church for a few Sundays or a couple of months, and then we had a chance to visit. Share with everybody, you know, what commitment that you made after that.
Well, I believe it was on a Monday. I work for a company that is very spiritual in nature. You know, it's kind of unique that I would go to Atlanta, and one of the first things they do prior to starting the work week is have everyone from our corporate office, which is about 800-plus employees, come into an area where we have a spiritual saying in the morning and singing. And I looked at my wife, and I go, wow. And she looked at me, and here they start off in corporate America with scriptures and singing and blessing our company and our stores throughout the country to have a blessed week and to provide service to our customers. And at that time, I was really looking for something. I didn't know what it was. And me and Pastor Ryan were going to meet one day at Village Inn and just have some breakfast. And as we sat there having breakfast, he asked me what I want to do. And I said, you know, it's been a while since I've really crossed this bridge to accept God into my life and to be a better husband and a better parent to my kids and a better person for our team and our country, our company. I wanted to cross that bridge and accept God into my life. And it was pretty emotional because when we sat down and I, you know, crossed that bridge, there's a lot of hesitation, but I knew I needed to find something in my life, and I did. And the funny thing was is that when I left Village Inn, I was very emotional, and I'm like, wow, you know, what did I do? And how can I be a better person? And so I was excited. I called my wife on the phone and said, honey, got some good news. And, of course, she's thinking a raise or a promotion to running my own restaurant. I said, I accepted God and into my life. And she goes, okay. What time do you work today? And you know, I was excited, but I didn't see the excitement or hear the excitement in her voice. But, I mean, I was. I mean, that whole day I came back into work. I was fired up. I accepted the Lord, and I was ready to charge that whole week. But, you know, for me, it was emotional and excitement. But I look at my family, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, well, no, you know, the great thing, Fred, is that the great things start small, and everybody kind of moves at their own pace. And so I know the Lord will use you to be an inspiration to your family and many others. In fact, I know that you told me recently that you were already working on inviting people to come next week to be at Easter. And I thought that was so appropriate because I had a chance to invite you, and now you're turning around inviting others. Share what God's doing in that way.
You know, I've talked to a few of my friends to come to our church and listen to what's going on and what we're trying to do. And that's been one of the biggest challenge because I always hear, you know, in the background, uh-oh, Fred's a holy roller now. and that's not the case. I just felt that, you know, I wanted to share in that excitement to them. What I'm feeling, and I totally respect their beliefs. If they don't want to come, that's not a problem. But I always, again, every week after week, I extend that invitation, and now instead of no's, I'm hearing maybes, and so that's where we're at on that. Again, I encourage everyone to try to come to the church, and so the no's now went to maybes, and possibly we'll see some activities this Sunday. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's awesome. Let's give Fred a round of applause and tell him thank you. Fred, thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah.
That's good. Very good. Man, it's always good to hear great stories about what God is doing in our church. And, you know, I know there's people that are just like Fred that God's put in your life that just waiting for an invitation. I mean, you know, you may know them, you may not know them. I don't know. But through one invitation, a person's life could be changed. And we're seeing that right here in Fred's life. And I know God's just put people in your life in a similar way. And you can just be an ordinary person, but God can use you in extraordinary ways when you begin to say to others, you're invited. You're invited. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes when I invite people to church, people say, really, I can come? You know, like you would want me to come to your church? And that's so weird to me because, you know, I think everybody should come to our church and everybody would love our church. So for somebody to not think that they're invited is really different to me. But I know people think that. People really do think that. They think, well, wow, he invited me. Well, maybe I should go, you know, versus, oh, well, they know they're invited. They'll show up if they want to come, you know. And so I've had to change my thinking a lot to, no, I really want you to come and be a part of what's going on at our church. I think you would really enjoy what's going on. And by extending that invitation, God is just going to continue to change many, many lives here at the Edge Church, as he has done many, many times over. We could have had a number of people share today about how they met the Savior through the Edge Church and through the ministry here. But the bottom line is, guys, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. And next Sunday is a great opportunity for us to take that step. And man, today, if what we've seen in the Gospel of John and what we've talked about today has resonated with your heart and you're like, man, I want God to use my life like he used Andrew. I want to be about introducing people to the Savior. I want to be saying to people, you're invited. If that resonates with your heart today, would you just stand up with me all over this room and just say, hey, I want my life to be like that. Would you just stand up for just a minute? Yeah, wherever you are. Very good. Good. Well, I want to pray for you because I know God's going to give you boldness, and especially as we look towards this week, this is a great opportunity to say you're invited and to say, hey, God, use me. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much today for the lesson of the Apostle Andrew, who was constantly focused on the mission more than he was himself or anything else. And Lord, I pray that would be true in us. I pray that would be true in our church. And Lord, as we go throughout this week, I pray you would use us in a powerful, powerful way to invite people to come with us next Sunday to hear the life-changing message of the gospel as we've just discussed. Lord, that is our desire. So give us courage today, give us boldness, give us divine opportunities, open up doors, open up conversations that we've never had before, and help us to share the greatest news of all with our family and with our friends, because you are a great God, and we give you thanks and praise for that. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.